Hey, thanks for the call. I gotta say, anything for Killer. I'm in such a total state of shock today, Sean. I can't imagine what this must be like for you to do this radio show.
It stinks. I hate it. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
But you had to do it.
Yeah, that was, you know, Drew, I'm glad to hear you say that because, honestly, that you know, you get the call from the powers that be, oh, you don't have to come in today. And I'm like, screw that. Yes, I do have to come in today. I mean, you don't have a choice in a day like today. And I know how much Tom meant to you and how much you meant to Tom. And I'm with you. I'm just still sitting here going, huh? What the hell, you know?
Yeah, and Tom did a lot to the audience, too. You know, we had Tom on our station for a few years, and people loved him. You know, we just had him on Monday mornings and sometimes on Fridays, and sometimes the story would break. And I was amazed at the popularity that he developed on our station in the brief time that he was on. Of course, he'd been a fan forever. And then of course, he's been back with you guys in the afternoon. It's been great to hear him, you know, on a regular basis in the afternoon. I was glad he got to do that because I think he really wanted to, you know, to prove he could do an everyday show and that he was more versatile than just kind of the Lions guy.
It's funny, Drew, I brought this up earlier to one of his colleagues. I mean, I have told him for years that he was a radio guy, and he just didn't know it. And once he started doing it, and I'm sure he's talked to you about it, Drew, you know this better than anybody. This business is a drug, and I watched the drug slowly but surely infect him, and he really grew into it. I mean, he was having fun in here, and I think it showed.
Yeah, no, he did. And he liked talking about radio, and that's, you know, one of the other things that happens to radio people. Unfortunately, they start talking about radio all the time when they're not on the radio. He was loving it. I know he's having a ball with you guys, and he loved the fan. He had really warm feelings. It's funny how you can have such strong feelings for an inanimate object like a set of call letters, but I know he did. He was crushed when it was gone, and he was so happy when it came back, and I know he had a ball working in the morning. Again, Seth, of course, and then in the afternoon, presently. But, hey, Sean, by the way, how did you find out this morning?
I was actually at my son's seventh grade orientation, and I came out and... My phone was just jammed with messages, and Drew, being in this business so long, I was convinced that I was fired for the umpteenth time, and looking back, I wish I was fired. It's better than the alternative, but honest, all kidding aside, I saw all these numbers and names on there, and I'm like going, oh, cool, I must have got fired again, but sadly, that wasn't the case. I mean, that's really, when I talked to the first person on the list, I said, oh, cool, were we canned again? And you know, sadly, that wasn't the news. But that's how I found out.
What time was that?
I would say, my gosh, probably around 12 o'clock, 12:05.
Around noontime today?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Not that I'm being competitive or anything, but I got a call about 20. Well, your calls probably came well before that, so I'm sure you had me beat on this one, but I got a call around 20 to noon, and when Mike Novak, who represented, was helping Tom with a couple legal matters, not that he was in any trouble by any stretch of the imagination, radio matters, actually, and he handled my business, too. When Mike said those words, Tom Kowalski died. I can't even describe. I'm still just totally stunned. I just can't believe it. I talked to him last night. We talked at length on Friday and Thursday. He sounded so good. You know, Tom is such a positive guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys have talked about that. Well, I know you. Actually, I listened to a lot of your 3 o'clock hour. And you guys are really nailing it. It was funny. I thought, God, they don't need me. there's so many great Tom Kowalski stories you guys have. But he was a real positive guy, and you know the world needs those people that, you know, you get a room of 10 people and everybody's a real crab ass or negative or cynical. Not that Tom wasn't cynical. You know, it just wouldn't be a nice place to be. He's just one of those very happy guys. He loved his job. He loved his friends. He was a great friend, and, you know, when people pass like this, you know, you hear person after person talk about, gee, could everybody really be that great a guy that, you know, that dies tragically or young? And, you know, in this case, I just don't know how to say it. It's so genuine. He was just such a great guy, and I'm just going to miss, I mean, I can't believe I can't pick up the phone and call him. It just, just blows my mind.
I quoted Diane, and I know you know Diane. Diane was his fiancée for the people out there, and,
yeah,
and Diane
she
said...
She called me.
It's amazing. What a class act. I mean, here is this lady. I can't imagine what she's going through, and she's calling me and trying to comfort me, and... She brought up the quote, Drew. She said, "I half expect him to walk in the house and go, ha ha, gotcha." Because you said it doesn't seem real. It isn't happening, but sadly it did, and we all have to deal with it.
So this 6'6", 6'7" guy, Big Tom Kowalski, you know, tanned, healthy looking guy, sounded great. I didn't hear him complain about a physical ailment all the time I knew him that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
It just really, really stunned me. But when Diane called, this is weird. Mike Novak called originally and told me, and of course I was in shock. And we had all worked with Tom. Everybody at our station has worked with Tom from when he was working on our show. Just the brief bit that he was, and everyone loves Tom over there. And I had to tell everyone, and it was just, oh my God, talk about bringing a room down.
Yeah.
And then my phone starts ringing, and I have him and my phone, his killer, of course. And I took up my phone, and I turned it to Mike Clark, and it said, "Killer." Diane was calling on his phone.
Yeah.
Which was a bit mind-boggling, like a little freaky, eerie deal. But, one thing I'll say about Tom, and I'm sure you've seen this a million times, Sean, is at a party, and I don't care if it's 50-50 guys, girls, 70-30 girls, guys, or 70-30 guys, girls, Tom Kowalski was the guy that always had about 20 guys around him, because whenever Tom was around, guys that hadn't seen Tom, if you hadn't seen him in a day, a week, a month, whatever, everybody had to get the lion scoop, the inside scoop.
Yep.
Always the most popular guy with guys at a party. Not that the ladies didn't like Tom.
Drew, he was a magnet. And I think the reason why he was a magnet is he didn't try. He was just Tom. He didn't make an effort to say, "Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm the life of the party." He was just Tom. He had that natural ability.
I think it came pretty easy to him. Being 6'6", and I don't think it was too tough for him. But my God, Diane's a beautiful girl.
Oh,
and
she sure is.
I'm sure you remember Dee.
Yeah.
And, those daughters, and always very, very, very attractive.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works out. Hey, Drew, seriously, I mean, you are so classy to do this. We appreciate it. I mean, whether you like to hear it or not, you're a Detroit radio legend, and we really appreciate you taking the time to call in about our mutual friend, Tom Kowalski. Thanks a lot, bud.
Nice talking to you guys, and, good luck. I hope the show hangs in there. I don't know what you guys are going to do. I'm sure it's not the first thing on your mind. Maybe the second thing. But you had to do the show today, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.